Council of Michigan, www.cbsmich.org.
Radio for Catholic and other Christians. This is 990 WDEO, Ypsilanti, Detroit, or on the internet at WDEO.net.
And rational, hard-headed logic over to sensitive emotive in the same call. Good morning, West. Good afternoon, East. Dr. Ray Guarendi here. Thank you so much for joining me any part of this time. By the way, any part of this time will keep your kids, and I dare say you, let's not get all fluffed up, I dare say you too, off of Springer. As well as pretty much any afternoon TV talk show. Program here is The Doctor Is In. I am the doctor who is in. You can be in, as in cool, by calling 877-573-7825. 877-573-7825. Reason for calling. Program is a call-in show, no guests other than you. You are my guests. Now, you kind of make the program run, really, to tell you the truth. I couldn't do it without you. You could quite easily do it without me, because you don't need to call here. You simply can get suggestions and ideas on how to better live your life more faithfully from other folks. It's not going to be as good. All right, I understand that. However, because I am a shrink, that's kind of what I've immersed myself in the last, well, I don't want to say how many years, but let me put it to you this way. It could be measured in decades. I'm getting a little nervous because it can start to be measured in part of a century. We'll leave that out of here. You call the program with a question. Stuff. That's guy talk. Issues. That's woman talk. Spanning the spectrum of linguistic sensitivity. Whether it's a kid, child-raising question, problem, conundrum, adult issues, marriage, depression, anxiety, whether it's a faith question as it interacts with life, you know, where the rubber hits the road, I, as I said, am a shrink. It's what I do for a living. Now, in the office, I can diagnose, I can do prolonged therapy. We can analyze. We have all kinds of time to peel back the layers of the onion. But here, I can't diagnose. I'm certainly not in any way going to speak about an issue that you're seeing a therapist for. However, we can educate. That's what the program is about. Educate, give ideas, nuggets, just a perspective. 877-573-7825. Your emails are delightful. This one came from Elizabeth. Elizabeth, I hope you're listening. She's from Phoenix, Arizona. It's a homeschool. She says, family homeschool or zoo, depending upon your point of view. Well, our homeschool was a zoo because, well, it just smelled that way. Dr. Ray, a quote from my daughter, age 9, when we were listening to The Doctor Is In. She said, how is it that he sounds so young, and yet he's so old? Well, Elizabeth, I don't know if I like your daughter already, but we'll keep going. Now, Elizabeth stuck up for me. She said, because he knows how to laugh and how to joke. Daughter then said to mother, you don't. Mother said, don't what? Daughter, you don't know how to laugh. You only know how to yell. Put in your place by an estrogen American, Elizabeth. She nailed you. Interestingly enough, though, think about this. And Elizabeth, I'm going to stick up for you. Even though you sent me this ego-shattering email, person. You ever notice the exaggerations of children regarding parental responses? Let me clarify. You probably don't yell. You probably raise your voice. You probably say things like, Elizabeth. And in her mind, she's thinking, well, geez, don't go all freaky on me, Mom. Getting all bent out of shape. My kids do this. My kids will do this. They'll say things like, oh, yeah, Dad went crazy. I'm thinking, when did I go crazy? Well, yesterday, remember? When you told me to clean up the patio? Yeah. Yeah. I said, Pete, clean it up. It's not going to clean itself up. You don't have to go ballistic. You notice that? Ballistic. Crazy. Yelling, screaming, freaking out. Isn't it interesting how they do that? Especially the older ones. The teenagers. You need to speak like this with your children. Yes, dear. Might it be appropriate for you to, maybe take a backhoe into your bedroom and clean it out? And I will call the dump trucks, three or four of them, where we can put your materials. Wouldn't that be nice? Oh, why do you have to get all over me like this? Yelling and carrying on, you never let it rest. You ever notice this? You ever notice this? And yet, they can have the surliest, snottiest, nastiest, demeaningest tones of voices. And you say, okay, that's disrespectful. What? I didn't say anything. I didn't even do anything. Did you know? You notice this? I noticed this. And that was not going to be my monologue, by the way. I had another monologue planned. But I just got on a roll. I went to lunch today. My son and my daughter, my wife and I, and two of the kids, Sarah, who's 22, and Sammy, who's 20. And, of course, they go to breakfast. They go to breakfast with me, not because they love me. Not because I'm their supportive dad. That's right, because I pick up the bill. And Sari said something about me getting all upset over some family matter some years back. And I remember thinking, well, I didn't get all that upset. I didn't pay for their breakfast. That'll fix that. Isn't it fascinating? I've tried to understand the dynamic. Why do kids exaggerate your response? Why do they think that you, even if you have a mildly scolding tone of voice, leave her alone? Now, from a decibel perspective, you went up 10 decibels from normal conversation. Oh, yeah. Dad was screaming at me yesterday, leave her alone. I don't know. You know what I think it is? I think they don't want to be corrected. They don't want to hear what they are supposed to do or what they are not supposed to do. So if you, in the most normal tone of voice, act like a parent in those disciplined circumstances, it has to be batted away verbally by implying you're out of control. That's what it is. You have no credibility. Why? Because you freaked out. When did I freak out? Last night? How did I freak out? You told me to go to bed. Okay, I told you to go to bed. Well, it was the way you said it. How did I say it? You said go to bed. Yes. Well, you said it mean. I did? How? Just in your tone. What was my tone? It was freaky. How was it freaky? You are not going to get an answer to that. Okay. Taking a lesson from my own playbook. We have one line open. And I would like you to call, if you will, while I take a little break here, and regroup from having totally, completely lost my composure and yelling and screaming over the radio. And I don't want to get accused of freaking out. So thank you, and I'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Al Cresta. Is Islam a religion of peace? We'll find out on August 10th when we hold the second in our Catholic Witness in a Nation Divided series. It'll be at Eastern Michigan University when Robert Spencer of Jihad Watch faces off against Shadid Lewis of the Muslim Debate Initiative. Why hasn't Islam produced any democracies? It's debated by Dick Thompson of the Thomas More Law Center and Turkish columnist Mustafa Akyol. Other Muslim and Catholic presenters will be there, and Bishop Earl Boyer will celebrate Mass. Registration for the conference is $40 and includes a box lunch. You can go to AveMariaRadio.net or call Cheryl at 734-930-5201. That's 930-5201. When this is over, Catholics and Muslims won't be holding hands singing Kumbaya. But everyone who participates in this frank, no-holds-barred discussion will be grateful for free speech and a civil society that permits people with irreconcilable differences to understand, if not agree, with one another. Register now, and I'll see you there.
This program is brought to you in part by CatholicMatch.com. Marriage and family life is the foundation of society. Catholic Match is doing its part to help build the culture of marriage by providing an online community that acts as a companion for singles as they grow in their faith while discerning God's will. CatholicMatch.com, faith-focused dating for today's single Catholics. More information available at CatholicMatch.com/Ave Maria.
The Doctor Is In is brought to you in part by CatholicBusinessPages.com, your national and local online business directory, connecting Christian business professionals with Catholic consumers. Advertisers have taken a stand to support Christian family values in the marketplace. It's important to support businesses that embrace life and promote the gospel of Christ. And at CatholicBusinessPages.com, business professionals have taken that stand. CatholicBusinessPages.com, a great place to get connected.
Avoiding all known forms of psychobabble. By the way, I noticed something. I did a major faux pas broadcast. I didn't even say my name in the first segment. I didn't. Now, some might say, well, that's a broadcast rookie. No, I like to think it's humility. You know? That's what I like to think. Massive, overwhelming, obvious, blatant, crushing humility. I'm Dr. Ray Guarendi. There. Did it. Stephen is calling from Columbus, Ohio. Stephen says he's about to have a child, and he's asking, is there a prospective guardian, prospective guardian litmus test? Hi, Stephen.
Hi, Dr. Ray.
I'm not sure what you mean.
My wife and I have been looking around at our families and some of the behaviors of their children. We just have questions, and we don't understand if it's the child or if it's what's going on in the rest of the house.
I got it. In other words, you're starting to think about, if anything would happen to you and your wife, who would you leave the kids with?
Exactly.
Okay, I gotcha. Well, the first thing I would say is, I don't think you're being disloyal by not choosing someone in your own family. Just don't let them know it. You know? Don't say, yeah, there's this lady out in Idaho. I met her on the internet. She's got custody of our kids if anything happens to us, because I've been watching you with your family, and you're making me a little nervous. I probably wouldn't do that. I think when I was terrified when our children were growing up, and at one point they were all under 12. There was 10 of them under 12. And my primary terror was losing my wife. But my secondary terror was being totally adrift as a dad with 10 kids under 12. And then I thought, well, what if something happens to me? So we moved through a couple of prospective guardians as their family constellation changed, as we changed as parents. We had to move through. The original guardians we chose were not the guardians we chose in the next round, okay?
Yeah.
So given that, I think what you do is you look at people that you reasonably know have some kind of faith and confidence that they're going to love your children and raise them in a faithfully Catholic home and count on God, you know?
I can totally understand that. I know my shoulders aren't big enough to handle it.
Well, I don't know if you remember, there was a show called Everybody Loves Raymond. And Deborah and Raymond came upon this question. And somehow Marie, Raymond's Italian mother, got wind that they were not going to leave the children with Marie and Frank. Oh! The family conflict that erupted on that baby. Okay? And I think it kind of realistically portrayed some of the emotional reactions of people taking it personally. Oh, we're not good enough to raise your kids? Oh, we're not close enough as a family? Oh, we're not Catholic enough? Oh, so that's why my prime advice is to just keep it between you and the people you pick. Nobody else. And you can't choose me because I'm too old and my children are raised. And if they came to my house, I would pretty much just let them do whatever they wanted.
Okay, Dr. A.
All right. Thanks, my friend. Bye.
Have a good day.
Okay. Well, I don't want to say my standards are getting slack. When I told my youngest daughter back when she was 6, I just flat out said, Elizabeth! No more smoking in the living room. That's it. I don't want to have to repaint that ceiling every couple of years. Oh, let's see. I got to see what that says. I'm going to tip you out to type that. All right. I'll move on to another one, and then you, as you finish that one, Andrew, I will correct it. Well, people, all right. I can do that. Joseph from California. Joe, you got a rough situation here. Joseph, you there?
Yes.
Okay. Sounds like you got a rough one there.
Yeah, I think I had a divorce, well, like maybe some years ago, like five, seven years ago, and I was legal. I got caught married to another woman from Canada. And she left some time back. I don't know exactly why. And I do not have a job now. And she is working. She's a nurse. And I'm having a trouble making even house payment and things like that.
Okay, Joe, let me see if I got the details. Some years ago, you got a civil divorce from your wife. Since then, I imagine, civilly remarried, and the woman that you were living with now has moved out, and you're drifting. You got no money coming in, and you're wondering how can you make it. Is that the picture?
That's one reason, and I talked to some people, and they suggested me to go for a file for divorce. That's a little hard for me to do that.
Okay. Are you Catholic?
Yes.
Talk to your priest. He will help you sort this out, all right? Because at this point, I don't know your details, but at this point, you are probably, in the church's eyes, still considered married to your first wife. So your second union, if you want to call it that, was a civil one. And the quote-unquote divorce would be a civil divorce, as you are not, in the church's eyes, married. to the woman you lived with for those years. Now, if you're saying, I don't want to divorce her because I love her and I care about her and all of that, if you can, Joseph, get in contact with her and find out what she wants to do about all this. She may say, Joseph, I want no part of you and I don't want any part of this relationship anymore because you're A, B, C, D, E, F, and G, and I can't live with that. Well, then she'll tell you that your options are real limited. On the other hand, you got to see what she says about this. I'm not saying you stay with her because that's get some guidance from the priest on all of this. But that's the first thing. Second thing is you got to get some money coming in. I don't know if you can file for unemployment. I don't know what kind of help you can get. There are many, many things you can get. If your income is below a certain level, you can get food stamps. You can get help with utilities. You need to go down to your local job and family services and find out, given that you have no money coming in, what kinds of things you can do to help sustain you. Okay, Joseph. Thank you, my friend. I got time. Oh, yeah, plenty of time. I'm flying. Joanne, out from the West Texas town of El Paso, she says, Dr. Ray, you said something in the past about people in Africa feeling ripped off if they don't get a 45-minute homily. Do we know what the parents of the small kids do during a 45-minute homily? Joanne, you there?
Yes, we're here.
All right, sweetie. I did not, obviously, take in the whole continent of Africa. It's like, okay, the people in Tripoli who are predominantly Islam feel ripped off if they don't get a 45-minute homily from their Catholic priest. What I was saying was one of the Catholic priests who came here at our parish said that in the villages where the people oftentimes have to walk quite a bit to get the mass, that they come with their children and they stand. Now, I'm not going to comment on what's going on in your background there, dear. I'm just going to keep it to myself here. But just know your kid is screaming in front of 220, 230 some stations. Anyway, all right. They stand and they feel a little ripped off. They feel a little cheated if they don't get to hear what the priest has to say. They want him to speak. Now, part of that is due to the fact that Western culture has not really infused the villages yet, so they don't have ongoing 275 TV channels. They don't have computer hookup access in every home, every place of residence. So for them, the stimulating input is an interesting person. All right? It's not flashing and beeping and nine different camera angles, etc. Now, your question, what did they do with the kids, right?
Yes. Sometimes we would love, my husband and I heard you and we talked about it and we said we would love a long homily, but sometimes we have to admit when we see a certain priest that gives the one-minute homily, we go, phew, because we know our kids are going
to... My kids don't have time to embarrass me and make me look like a rot-gut mother.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. There's two factors. I don't know this for sure, but from what bits and pieces I picked up, the kids are better behaved.
Mm-hmm.
They are. They simply are. They're less distractible. They are less antsy. And there's reasons for that, probably parallel to the same reasons why the parents can listen for 45 minutes. You know, the kids don't have the go, go, get, do, do, have, more
right.
mentality that American kids have.
Yeah, that's true.
That starts very early, very, very early. You know, the average two-year-old in America has 722 toys, where over there, the poor kid probably gets a rock, some sticks, and maybe a stuffed animal. Who knows?
Yeah.
That's the first thing. The second thing is, I think their parenting practices are a little more stiff. For example, it wouldn't be unusual for a mom to take the child out of the crowd and give him a spanking.
Mm-hmm.
And bring him back. Okay?
Right.
I talked to a girl from Nigeria. This was some time back. She was the hotel clerk. We had talked a little bit. She said she was in Cleveland to get her master's degree. Then she would go back to her country. And I always ask this question. What's the biggest difference between your country and ours? She said without hesitation, your children. What do you mean? Oh, my gosh, in my country, our children would never be allowed to act like yours do. And I said, are you saying our kids are not well-disciplined? She goes, absolutely. And I remember thinking, wait a minute, you're from a backward third world country. We're sophisticated. We're sharp. We're psychologically enlightened. And you're telling us your children are better behaved and more content? I believed her, but I was yanking on her just for that reason. So I think, Joanne, that's kind of probably the element. Kids are little kids everywhere, and I imagine 2 and 3 year olds certainly are hard to keep on task in a 45-minute homily. But I would also imagine that it's not as bad as it would be in the U.S.
Perfect sense.
Thank you, honey. By the way, well, if I remember to say this when I get back, I will. 877-573-7825. 877-5-PEP-TALK is the number to call to get on the program. And there's a call up there related to what I just talked about, too. I like when calls are related, you know? Adds to the thematic apperception of the program.
Hi, I'm Al Cresta. A major survey shows that nearly 1 of 5, 20% of American Muslims, say that in the name of Islam, suicide bombing and violence against civilians can be justified. The numbers are considerably higher in other countries. Doesn't this mock the platitude that Islam is a religion of peace? We'll find out on August 10th when we hold the second in our Catholic Witness in the Nation Divided series at Eastern Michigan University. Robert Spencer of Jihad Watch will face off against Shadid Lewis of the Muslim Debate Initiative. Turkish columnist Mustafa Akgul claims that Islam can tolerate religious liberty. Dick Thompson of the Thomas More Law Center says no. A young woman will share her conversion from Islam to Christianity. And rising scholar Andrew Bisat will describe Catholics who have struggled to the death against Islam. Lansing Bishop Earl Boyer will celebrate Mass afterwards. The $40 registration includes a box lunch. You can learn more at AveMariaRadio.net or call Cheryl at 734-930-5201. That's 930-5201. When this is over, Catholics and Muslims won't be holding hands singing Kumbaya. But everyone who participates in this frank, no-holds-barred debate and discussion will see how the common good is served by free speech and a civil society that permits people with irreconcilable differences to understand, if not agree, with one another. Register today and grow your faith.
Light of the East, weekends on Ave Maria Radio.
I am Father Thomas Loya. This week on Light of the East on Ave Maria,
as the summer winds down and we begin to sense the approach of autumn, it becomes a season of pilgrimage in many areas of the Eastern Lung of the Church. We will look at one such pilgrimage with our special guest, Sister Barbara Jean.
Saturdays at 7:30 p.m. and Sunday mornings at 7 on 990 WDEO.
Doing my own stunt voices. My own discipline. No body doubles on this program. Dr. Ray Guarendi here. Thank you for joining me. Program, the doctor is in 1 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. I'll let you figure it out where you are in the time zones. Produced by Ave Maria Radio Communications. Heard all over the place on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Some 240-plus stations out there, which is now starting to outstrip my IQ. There for a while, I was right with it. Sirius Satellite, Channel 130. My website, drray.com. I don't know if we put it up yet, but we are, God willing, starting to tape the final 7 shows of Living Right with Dr. Ray this fall. We'll do it in October. And we love audiences. We got to have audiences. You are there. You make the show. Show's taped in Cleveland. You go to my website, Dr. Ray, DRRAY.com. All the information should be there on who to contact to reserve your spot. We'll put you straight in the front row. Get your big smiling face right there. By the way, can you bring kids? Yes, you can. Do you know why? Because we have a psychologist on staff that can deal with recalcitrant, obstreperous youngsters. And speaking of which, Cynthia from Dallas, Texas is calling. And Cynthia says, my daughter is strong-willed. Oh, Cynthia, I'm going to attack you on that one, but I'll let you get away with it for now. She's having a hard time getting her to pray with the family and to participate in Mass. En Mass or in Mass? Hi, Cynthia.
Hi, Dr. Ray. How are you?
How old, dear, is this strong-willed daughter of yours?
My little nugget is going to be 8 in about a month and a half.
A nugget. I like that. My little nugget. Is it because she's a diamond in the rough? Or no, she's a mud ball.
Maybe both. Depends on the day.
Now, my dear, does she go to school?
We homeschool.
Oh, you homeschool. Okay. This strong-willedness of hers, I would imagine pretty much everybody you talk to says, oh, Cynthia, your daughter is such a management problem. She's difficult. She's strong-willed. She's uncooperative. Probably hear that all the time, don't you?
No, I don't.
Oh, no!
People are like, she's such a darling girl. And
oh,
I'm like,
Cynthia.
Yeah, you're at home.
Cynthia, then who is she strong-willed with, my dear?
With her father and I.
Yeah, you got it. And that's usually the way it is, by the way.
Also, when she was in pre-K, her teacher told me she won't do what I ask her to do. And I love her, love her, love her. But, yeah, she just doesn't want to do what she doesn't want to do.
Well, maybe your pre-K teacher was wimpy.
I don't know. Maybe. Aww. I don't know. But I want her to participate. It's so important for her to, you know, we want her to pray out loud at grace. We want her to pray out loud when we pray at night. I want her to say her prayers at Mass.
She don't want to.
I mean, and obviously participating in school, she can be kind of flaky at too, but if I'm sitting with her, she'll do her work. Otherwise, she kind of flees and reads, and she's very smart. She can read at a grade level much above her.
You want the bad news or the good news?
The good news.
Okay, I'll give you the good news. Your child is probably not strong-willed at all. Your child is probably just a normal little child, and she's probably, if anything, on the sweet cooperative side, because that's what she shows everybody else except Mom and Pop. That's the good news. You want to know the bad news?
Yeah.
Okay. If you walked into my office, there's a 90% chance, maybe more, that as you and I talked, we would find out how this child is kind of running you. And that even though you think that you've got a good handle on the discipline, and probably compared to your family and other friends, you do. However, we would be pointing out things rather quickly where you'd go, oh, no, I can't. No, I can't get her to cooperate on that. Oh, no. No, that's always been a problem. Right?
She's a tough cookie, and she's not like
her
sibling. Her siblings are fine.
What? Well, okay. I should address that in a monologue sometime. Your daughter,
youngest.
How many siblings?
3.
All right. Older, younger, where?
She has 3, an older sister and 2 older brothers who are all 9.
Okay. All right. Now, there's a lot of explanations for this. But of your 4 children, somebody's got to be the toughest. All right?
Yes.
Somebody has to be. So that doesn't mean she's tough. It just means she's tougher than your other 3. That's all that means. Your other 3 could be on the easier side. And everything you did with your other 3, which worked, doesn't work with this one.
Yeah.
So, and that happens in my office all the time. I always ask, is there an older brother or sister? Oh, yes. Nothing like this. Oh, no, very cooperative. I was the best parent in the world. I mean, I only went to confession about once a month because I didn't have to. I never lost my patience. Well, now with this one, I go to confession about every 8 minutes. I go in every 8 minutes, and I say, Father, is it a sin to want to throw your child over a cliff? Oh, it's not a big cliff.
Oh, goodness.
All right, so let's get back to this praying thing.
Okay.
People in your shoes, Cynthia, usually worry like, well, if I force her to do it, she's going to puke up religion.
Right. And
when she gets old enough, that's it. She'll run from it and never, ever, 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 ever come back. It depends how you approach it. For example, if you say, sweetheart, you know there is a God, and therefore God has asked you to pray to him. Well, why can't I just pray in my head? You can pray in your head all you want, but there are certain times you got to pray out loud, because that's respect for God. So I, as your mommy, can't allow you to be disrespectful. So if you're in Mass, or we're praying the rosary, and it's your turn to say a Hail Mary, all you have to do, you don't have to yell it, you don't have to levitate, you don't have to say it in Aramaic. Just have to pray it. And if she refuses, if it were me, I'd say, well, okay, sweetheart, you go sit over there, and we'll see what we're going to do about it afterwards. And then later I'd say something, if she comes to me and asks for a privilege, I'd say, you know what, sweetheart, I wanted to let you do that, but you know, you were just difficult when it came time to pray. You were kind of rude. Same thing at Mass. If she's just simply going to sit there like a stump at Mass, and she won't even say, and with your spirit, which is one of the easiest things to say,
yeah. And
with your spirit. Four words, all monosyllabic. If she's not going to do that, and later that day, say, for example, you go out to breakfast, and she sits down and thinks she's going to order, you could look at her and say, you know what, honey, you're going to eat at home, because you just were kind of ignoring God back there. And in our family, we don't ignore God. I wasn't ignoring him. I was listening. I know you were listening, but you didn't talk to him at all. Kind of a, not a, you're going to do it my way, punk. But more of a, you know what, sweetheart, you're being disrespectful. You're being rude. And I'm going to require at least some level of participation, or the things that you think are just automatically your privileges are not going to be. And Cynthia, that will not turn her off towards God. It will not. All right? There's a lot of other ways that we turn our kids off towards God. 877-573-7825. That's the number.
Been to the March for Life? Remember how amazing it was to stand in a crowd of people excited about life? Want to have that feeling again? Or maybe experience it for the first time? Then come to the second annual On Par for Life golf outing and dinner on Monday, August 19th, being held at Barton Hills Country Club in Ann Arbor. Registration and continental breakfast begin at 10:30 a.m. with a shotgun start at noon. If you're not a golfer, join everyone at 5 p.m. for cocktails with dinner and a live auction immediately following at 6:30. Event tickets are still available. To register, visit www.onparforlife.com. That's onpar, F-O-R, life.com. Or call me, Iris Proctor, Arbor Vitae's Executive Director, at 734-994-8863 for more information.
Arbor Vitae's Women's Center is a pregnancy counseling center located in the heart of the University of Michigan campus that provides medical services, pregnancy options counseling, and material resource referrals to women facing unplanned pregnancies.
Hi, I'm Al Cresta. Is Islam a religion of peace? We'll find out on August 10th when we hold the second in our Catholic Witness in a Nation Divided series. It'll be at Eastern Michigan University when Robert Spencer of Jihad Watch faces off against Shadid Lewis of the Muslim Debate Initiative. Why hasn't Islam produced any democracies? It's debated by Dick Thompson of the Thomas More Law Center and Turkish columnist Mustafa Akyol. Other Muslim and Catholic presenters will be there, and Bishop Earl Boyer will celebrate Mass. Registration for the conference is $40 and includes a box lunch. You can go to AveMariaRadio.net or call Cheryl at 734-930-5201. That's 930-5201. When this is over, Catholics and Muslims won't be holding hands singing Kumbaya. But everyone who participates in this frank, no-holds-barred discussion will be grateful for free speech and a civil society that permits people with irreconcilable differences to understand, if not agree, with one another. Register now, and I'll see you there.
I got a book coming out. Yeah. It's on reverse psychology. Don't buy it. I'm Dr. Ray Redney. Thanks for joining me here on The Doctor Is In. Well, I have a good time doing this program. I really do. You guys are cool. You're really neato, kino, bafo. And I'm kind of a well, a modern guy, you know, Nito Kino Bafo, right with the language of the age. Jennifer is calling from Texas. Hi, Jan.
Hi, Dr. A. How are you?
Hey, who's giving you grief here?
Oh, I just started a new job. I'm going to try to make it as easy as I can because I do get flustered with my words about 3-4 months ago, and it's in the medical field. My bosses are, I think they're disrespectful to me as far as, like, when I'm doing something and I'm learning at the very base level with them.
Mm-hmm.
I get reprimanded in front of clients. I'm humiliated. And I don't know I get so frustrated with how I can bring this up and say, look, I'm not as stupid as you think I am, even though they have, that I've overheard, they have words for me. You know, they call me DAS, which is dumb and stupid. Or can't fix stupid, you know, things like that. And I'm kind of getting to the point where I don't know if I should say something or just say, you know, maybe we're not a good fit. I'm not giving you what you want. I just don't know where to go from there because it's really getting to the point where it's stressed. I'm so stressed out I just don't even want to go in. I try to think of ways I can get out of work, and then I feel bad because I don't want to do that to them. You know, in their business, I know they need me. I just don't know how to approach it.
What's the environment, Jen? What kind of office?
It's a vet office.
Okay, so are you a vet tech?
A receptionist. I'm just a receptionist.
Okay.
But
hey, you. You're not just a receptionist. God's not going to go, Jen, she's just a receptionist. No, sweetheart. That's not that. You know that's not how God looks at it, all right? So, okay. You done this receptionist type job before?
Oh yeah, I ran my own business for 10 years, very successfully.
Okay,
but in a totally different field, of course. But
the other staff members, any of them say things to you like, "Yeah, it's difficult to work here. The one vet is really, really a problem," and et cetera, et cetera. You get any of that vibes from any of the other staff members?
I do. So one's been there for quite a while. You know, I don't know how she's done it for as long as she has.
And she says that. She says this is a difficult place to work.
Yeah.
Okay. The reason I ask that, I'm not going to try to make excuses for you, but if you're working with a difficult human being, the first thing you got to do is not take it personal.
Right.
That can decide you're not as smart as the average Rottweiler that they get in there. Rottweilers are pretty smart dogs now. And
yep.
And you can't let that, you got to let some of this go in one ear and out the other. If it's honest instruction, all right, you try to learn from it. But if it's couched in demeaning language or scolding or basically kind of a disrespect for you as a person, the problem is theirs. You're not wedded to that job. I'm sure they're not paying you $32 an hour for this job.
I wish.
Right. So you're not wedded to it. So you can say to yourself, if I don't get better at letting a lot of this nonsense go in one ear and out the other, I'm going to simply look to go elsewhere. I've decided this is a difficult person to work with. I'm not critically needing this job.
Okay.
And that'll be the way it is. Now, if you say to yourself, yeah, but I don't want to fail. It has nothing to do with failing. It has nothing to do with failing. It has to do with your judgment, Jen. You got to decide, you know what? Yeah, I can let them go in one ear or out the other, but this is old. This is old. I don't like it.
And it's very frustrating. I agree with you. It's just really frustrating when they do it in front of a client. And in fact, I had a client this morning that it happened to, and she looked at me and said, do they always talk to you like that? And I just kind of smiled. It's like, what do I say?
Because well, you know what, honey? You just answered. See, I was going to say something brilliant, but you already said it. You anticipated it, which is, if they do that in front of a client, first of all, that is prima facie, little Latin stuff there, prima facie evidence that they're just kind of mean-spirited. Okay, that's the first thing. Because if they are frustrated with you, They don't need to do it in front of a client. They can tell you later. All right?
Yeah.
So that's the first thing. The second thing is, when they do that, they're not making you look bad. Who are they making look terrible?
My husband said that. Absolutely. Same thing.
That's what the client said. They always talk to you that way. In other words, these people are being jerks. Absolutely, sweetheart. So,
okay.
The whole crux of this issue, if they want to be difficult, nasty, you decide how much credibility you're going to give them. You know, lower it. Just kind of view it as, boy, oh boy, oh boy. I'd hate to be inside that person's shoes because he or she must be miserable. That's one thing you do. And the second thing, if you don't think you can become immune to at least some of it, well, then you say to yourself, you know what, I'm looking elsewhere. I don't really like to hang around with these folks. They're not going to change. And you've already got evidence that the other people there are gone, yeah, yeah, they're not easy to get along with at all. But don't, you know, okay, it is one thing for you to not be competent at what they want you to do. And that may be, but so what? God's not going to go, well, let's see, Jen, looking at the book here, and you weren't competent at work. Okay, well, that's another 1,000 years in purgatory here. We've got to purge that sin from it, because it's not a sin. It's not a moral sin.
Right.
It's just a matter of, you know, you could throw me in that environment, and I'd probably stink the joint out. Okay, because I don't know how to do that stuff. I'm bad at that. And that's okay. My self-image doesn't rise and fall with whether I'm competent at everything I try. That's the first thing. So don't let that hammer you.
It just makes me question
my
ability.
You're doing what I said not to do.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm trying to get past.
Heck yeah. Get past that, sweetheart. Even if you're not very good at this. Okay. Okay. Now, one other suggestion. You said, do I confront them? If you're going to confront them, I would stay away from asking them why they are that way or et cetera, et cetera. I would say, am I not doing the job? I would say, is it taking me too long to get the hang of this in your opinion? I would say, am I someone that you don't have much confidence in is going to ever get this? I would phrase it that way.
Okay.
So this way you're not impugning their style, because they'll deny it. They're not going to say, you know, Jen, you are right. We are difficult. And yes, we realize what we're doing, and it's quite inappropriate. And as a matter of fact, we were just getting ready to write you a letter of apology tomorrow. That's not going to happen, sweetheart. They're going to look at you, and they're going to say, what's your problem?
Right.
Okay, so you say, am I not doing the job? Do you think that this is beyond me? And don't say things like, because I ran my own business for 10 years, you know, and I was very successful at it. And Dr. Ray thinks I'm a good guy.
Yeah.
And they'll go, who? That's right.
I don't know. They might be listening. We both belong to the same Catholic church, so I don't know.
No! All right, sweetie. Thanks for the call.
Oh, thank you so much. Have a great day.
Bye. Hey! Somebody tell me on the radio here, you know, you stink. You're not very good. Well, I would be disappointed. Well, that's right. That's what I sound like. What I sound like, Andrew. That particular sense. I might not be very good. Okay. But my dignity in God's eyes doesn't rise and fall with that. You know, and it's too bad I had to get this old to realize that. When you're growing up, you tie your competence, your dignity, your worthwhileness to how you perform at a given task or vocation. Hey, the only place it really matters is the moral issue and as you're following Christ. And other than that, and I tell you what, it's taken me a long time to realize that. So I guess what I can say is I'm quite comfortable with being uncomfortable.
Republicans, Democrats, no matter which political party is in office, there are always investment opportunities to be found. The Ave Maria Mutual Funds won't compromise the moral beliefs of its investors. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. The portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and moral values. Call toll-free 866-AVE-MARIA or at AveMariaFunds.com.
Schwartz Investment Counsel, Inc., a registered investment advisor established in 1980, serves as an investment advisor. All mutual funds are subject to market risk, including possible loss of principal. To obtain performance through the most recent month-end and a prospectus, which includes objectives, risks, fees, expenses, and other information that you should read and consider carefully before investing, the number is 1-866-AVE-MARIA or at AveMariaFunds.com. Distributed by Ultimus Fund Distributors, LLC.
Hi, I'm Al Cresta. Is Islam a religion of peace? We'll find out on August 10th when we hold the second in our Catholic Witness in a Nation Divided series. It'll be at Eastern Michigan University when Robert Spencer of Jihad Watch faces off against Shadid Lewis of the Muslim Debate Initiative. Why hasn't Islam produced any democracies? It's debated by Dick Thompson of the Thomas More Law Center and Turkish columnist Mustafa Akyol. Other Muslim and Catholic presenters will be there, and Bishop Earl Boyer will celebrate Mass. Registration for the conference is $40 and includes a box lunch. You can go to AveMariaRadio.net or call Cheryl at 734-930-5201. That's 930-5201. When this is over, Catholics and Muslims won't be holding hands singing Kumbaya. But everyone who participates in this frank, no-holds-barred discussion will be grateful for free speech and a civil society that permits people with irreconcilable differences to understand, if not agree, with one another. Register now, and I'll see you there.
Dr. Rick Rendy here. Thank you for joining me on The Doctor Is In. Appreciate it. Lots, lots, lots. Monica, are you there? Monica from California?
Yes, I am. Yes,
Monica,
I am. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome. Do you know, have you ever heard of Mary Ellen Paretsky?
No.
Monica, that was the girl I was flat out smitten with in the eighth grade. Well, I couldn't have her as a girlfriend. And I wasn't allowed to go to her house, but I like if somebody would have said, you know, do you like Mary Ellen? Yeah, but don't tell her. Your son wants to have a girlfriend. He's 13, right?
Yes.
What? Well, when he says he wants to have a girlfriend, what does that mean?
Well, nowadays, it's who knows?
That means he wants to text her if he has a cell phone?
Oh, yeah, but he has friends that are girls, and sometimes, from time to time, I let him use my cell phone, and he uses it to text because he doesn't have a cell phone, and I told him that he's not going to get one, but I let him use my phone, and, he is kind of open to communicate, and he tells me which girl he likes, he'll tell me that he would like to have a girlfriend, and we already told him that he can't. But I don't know how to set certain boundaries. I don't know what will be a limit. I mean,
okay.
For them to have.
Well, first thing, you know, you can acknowledge to your young man, son, that mm-hmm. you certainly understand he's noticing girls, and you certainly understand that he can think certain ones are real cute. Hey, okay. Cool. Not a problem. It's the way God wired us. On the other hand, at age 13, certainly as a parent, you're going to say, I'm going to keep the rope at a certain length, which means you're not going to date. I'm not going to be alone with her. And I would be a little careful, Monica, about that texting on your phone, too. Because my guess would be she has unlimited access to a cell phone. True?
Probably.
Yeah. So she can text him anytime she wants, all she wants. And I see an awful lot of these text romances at age 12, 13, 14. And the kids are convinced, oh my gosh, that's the person I love, you know, on the basis of the texts. So I think if you're going to allow that, which I probably wouldn't myself because he sees her at school and that should be plenty. But if you're going to allow that, I'd keep a real close eye on that and I'd keep it real limited and I'd probably, well, depending upon the situation, want to see it because typically at age 13, these romances come and go, but sometimes they can gain some strength beyond anything you think is healthy for a kid that age. So, you set the terms, your mom, you acknowledge that he is a young man who can think girls are really cute, and that's fine.
And how about, because he, lately, I mean, because when in the summer, he wants to go out.
No.
And do things with his friends, in groups.
Wants to go out in a group, but she's there. And who knows where they'll go and what they'll do, and they won't stay with the group, and they'll take off. Sure. I mean, he's only 13. He's kind of little for all this stuff. And if you say, well, it's harmless because her mother's there, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, the problem you run into is when you introduce this kind of boy-girl stuff at this age. Well, there's nowhere to go but deeper into involvement. He's not going to say, I'm really content for the next 3 years not to have a dating relationship with the girl. Because my mom is real good about it. She lets me just visit at IHOP. We have breakfast together with her mom there. And that's good enough for me for the next 3 years. That probably is not going to happen, Monica. So you got maybe, if you decide, you slow this train down. I think what's happening is you're feeling pressure from him and you're not sure yourself. But remember, you are mom. Okay, got to go. Dr. Ray, thank you so much. Andrew Krucek, thank you for all the stuff you do at that other end there in Ann Arbor. Good Lord permit, and I'll see you tomorrow. Till then, walk with God. Always walk with God. Hold your kids tight by the hand, but you Purell. Lots of it.
The Doctor Is In is brought to you in part by CatholicBusinessPages.com. Building community one business at a time. CatholicBusinessPages.com. Would you like a copy of this program? If you miss a part of this program or want to hear it again, Ave Maria programming can be made yours when you order. Just call 734-930-4506. Within a few weeks, you'll receive a copy of this show and any others you want to order on CD. Call 734-930-4506.
Hi, I'm Al Cresta. A major survey shows that nearly one of five, 20% of American Muslims, say that in the name of Islam, suicide bombing and violence against civilians can be justified. The numbers are considerably higher in other countries. Doesn't this mock the platitude that Islam is a religion of peace? We'll find out on August 10th when we hold the second in our Catholic Witness in the Nation Divided series at Eastern Michigan University. Robert Spencer of Jihad Watch will face off against Shadid Lewis of the Muslim Debate Initiative. Turkish columnist Mustafa Akgul claims that Islam can tolerate religious liberty. Dick Thompson of the Thomas More Law Center says no. A young woman will share her conversion from Islam to Christianity. And rising scholar Andrew Bisat will describe Catholics who have struggled to the death against Islam. Lansing Bishop Herb Boyer will celebrate Mass afterwards. The $40 registration includes a box lunch. You can learn more at AveMariaRadio.net or call Cheryl at 734-930-5201. That's 930-5201. When this is over, Catholics and Muslims won't be holding hands singing Kumbaya. But everyone who participates in this frank, no-holds-barred debate and discussion will see how the common good is served by free speech and a civil society.